Okay, Baruch Hashem, we have a big simcha. Meir Rosenfeld's son, Meir and Debbie Rosenfeld, son of Yoshua Ariel, got engaged last night. We wish him a tremendous milestone. Meir's dedicating this year this morning in honor of the engagement of Yoshua Ariel to Chani Shwed. For Muncie, Bez Hashem, they should continue to have simcha. Bracha, the chasen, should be b'shal tovim, utzlachas. They should have simcha miyat v'yad olam. So everything that happens in the world, obviously, is Masa Hashem, the acts of the Rabbono Shel Olam. And everything that happens in the world, we're supposed to learn from. There's a terrible tragedy going on somewhere in the world. So Klal Yisrael is supposed to have some message from it. What it is sometimes difficult to know what the message is. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were in the parasha where HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to visit terrible acts of destruction on the Egyptians. So the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers his punishments to the Egyptians, the way he delivers his messages to the world, certainly we're supposed to learn things from them, understand from them, and try to figure out what he wants from us, even in the way that he delivers each one of the makos. This morning's shiur is going to be basically four life lessons, four Yiddishkeit lessons that one can learn from one of the ten makos, the maka of the frogs, the tzvardea. Certainly the maka of the frogs has piqued the curiosity of the small children in the kindergartens, and so many people throughout the years around the Seder table discussing the frogs, and the little kids enjoy very, very, if you take a step back and think about it, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that this was exactly the plague to visit on the Mitzrayim, frogs, Dafka. It's interesting. So Chazal have pointed out a number of life lessons that we can perhaps glean out of the frogs. And most of what we're going to speak about this morning comes out of Rabbi Simon Sefer, the Imre Baruch, with one or two additions on the side as well. It says in the Yalkut Shimoni, that's one of the Midrashim, about the frogs, it says as follows. There were many, many different types of frogs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to bring against the Egyptians in the second of the ten makos. Shenemar, Vatal HaTzvardeya. The word Tzvardeya, many of the Mefarshim were talking about it. It's a very, very strange kind of word, Tzvardeya. It doesn't seem to follow any of the normal rules of Hebrew language. Where does the word come from? What's the root of the word? Why is it called a tzvardeya? So the Medrash here suggests that Tala tzvardeya, tzipor sheyesh bodeya. That tzvardeya is tzipor sheyesh bodeya. Now clearly we know that the frog is not from the family of the birds, from a scientific point of view. But apparently, first of all, there are many, many, many different species of frogs. And there actually is a species of frog known as the bird frog. But whatever it might be, the tzvardeya is learned in the Medrash as a conjugation of the words tzipor sheyesh bodeya. Why is it called tzipor sheyesh bodeya? B'sha'a she'ahayu ha'ofos tzmeim. At a time when the birds were thirsty, perhaps they were thirsty because everything had just turned to blood and they weren't sure what they could drink, which water was okay, even though it had already turned back, but still maybe there was residue, they were concerned about the toxic elements in the water. So the birds were thirsty. V'hayu misyaren lishtos mayim, and the birds were afraid to drink the water. So this frog, bird frog, or the frog that was friendly with the birds, or the frog that directed the birds, whatever it is, this frog would call the birds and say to them, come and drink, don't be nervous. So the birds didn't know what to drink, they didn't know what was healthy, what wasn't healthy. So tzfardea, the Medrash says, is sipor sheyesh bo dea. A bird or a reptile, amphibian, it was called a bird that had this knowledge, das. And clearly, this idea of needing to have the knowledge to know what's okay to drink and what is not okay to drink is crucial for a Jew. And in fact, we seem to learn this idea a little bit from this frog. Tzipor sheyesh bo dea. It requires das. It requires knowledge and understanding to know how to separate between things. How to know what is good for me and what is not good for me. That requires das, to make distinctions. So there's an interesting passage, a number of interesting passages in the Yerushalmi that talk about this. The first one is, this is the Gemara of the Yerushalmi, HaYomei Du Mispal B'Shabbos. The person was davening on Shabbos. B'Shachach Shol Shabbos. He forgot that it was Shmoneh Esrei Shabbos. I'm sure this never ever happened to anybody sitting here, that you were davening on Shabbos morning, and you forgot, you didn't realize, because out of rote, sometimes we end up going into the weekday Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbos. I'm sure it never happened to anybody. HaYomei Du Mispal B'Shabbos. B'Shachach Shol Shabbos. This is Shachol. So when you start off the brachas of Shmoneh Esrei, you start off with Atah Chonein La'adam Das. That's the first bracha. That's the first way you know that it's a weekday and not Shabbos. So you start off Atah Chonein La'adam Das. So the Yerushalmi says like this: HaYomei Du Mispal B'Shabbos. Shachol. Rabbi Chuna Omer Ispal Gadav Nachman B'Yakov Rav Sheshes. So Rabbi Chuna says there's a machlokas of Nachman B'Yakov Rav Sheshes what to do. Chad Amar Choseich Es Habracha. One of them says, you stop on the dime. He said, Atachoy Lodom Das from Lamidashra. Oh! What happened? It's Shabbos. I forgot. I said the wrong bracha. So one opinion says, Chotech is a bracha. Cut the bracha down the middle. You're in the middle of Atachoy Lodom Das. Stop on the dime and go right away to Yismach Moshe Matnas Chelko or whatever it happens to be. That's the first opinion. V'chadna Amar Gomer Es Habracha. You have to finish the bracha. Finish the bracha. How do we pass in the Shulchan Aruch? Just so you should know, how do we pass in the Shulchan Aruch? We pass in that you finish the bracha. Why? Because b'di'eved you would be yotze kriya shma shel chol on Shabbos. What did I say? Kriya shma tefila shel chol. You would be yotze shmoneh esrei v'chol on Shabbos b'di'eved. So we pass in you finish the bracha. But then the Gemara says, Hakol modim b'chonin adas shugomer. Everyone agrees that if the bracha that you happen to be in the middle of was chonin adas, everyone agrees you finish it. What's the pshat? Vita ki Rebbe. This is going like the opinion of Rebbe. The Rebbe Omar tamei ani heach biklu chonin adas b'shabbes. Rebbe posed a rhetorical question: how could it be that the rabbis got rid of the bracha of Chonin Adas on Shabbos? Im ein dea minayin tfila. If you don't have das, if you don't have knowledge, if you don't have understanding, how could you daven? And the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, gedola hi adea. Das, understanding, wisdom. This is a tremendous attribute. Shehim mutzas bein shtei askaros, that it says in the Navi that Das is in between the two Shemos of Hashem, Shenemar Ki Kel Deos Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known as Kel Deos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has knowledge, has Das, has wisdom. Is the boy Mashmini Min Ado Oz Tovin Yiras Hashem V'Das Kedoshim Timtza. So Das is considered to be such an important attribute. And what does Das do? Das distinguishes. That's, of course, what the Yerushalmi says, why the bracha of Atochon Antanu, the bracha of Atochon Antanu, the prayer that we say of making the distinction, the Havdalah, between Shabbos and Chol, Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'Chol. Where does that bracha show up in Shmoneh Esrei? In the bracha of Atah Chonein la'adam Das. Because Das is about the ability to distinguish between what I should do and what I shouldn't do. And so many times in this world, we're confused. We're not sure where I should drink from, where I shouldn't drink from. Should I go like this or should I go like that? There's so many decisions that we need to make in life that sometimes the clear answer is not so apparent to us. It's not so apparent to us. Look at the next Yerushalmi. V'avdala b'chonin adas, the Rebbe, Chachamim, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Omra Baracha Revius Ba'atzma, Rabbi Yaakov Baracha B'Shem Shmuel Omer, Baracha Revius. There's a machlokas. Should you say Chonin Adas as a separate bracha, as the fourth bracha by itself before Chonin Adas, or should you say it in the bracha? Omra Rabbi Yuna, Omer Mabeh Baracha Ba'achach Ma'avdil. V'taya K'Rebbe, that's going like Rebbe. The Rebbe Omer, Tmihani, Heach Bitlu Chonin Adas B'Shabbos, and Ein Deya Tfilu Minayin. So, Das is crucial for Tefillah itself. Why is Das so crucial to Daven itself, for Tefillah? Because the Lashon Tefillah, Chazal have said that Lashon Lehis Palel means, like the Pasuk says, V'nasan b'flilim. Palel means to judge. When you Daven, you're judging yourself. His Palel is in the binyan of His Pael, which means you're doing something to yourself. And His Palel, V'nasan b'flilim, flilim means judges. You're judging yourself, because when you're davening, what you're really doing is trying to figure out what it is that you really should be asking for. Because a lot of times we daven, we're not sure what's really good for us. Right? Is this good or is that good? Right? We don't know what the good decision is. Right? Your kid's deciding what yeshiva to go to in Eretz Yisrael. Very difficult to know. How do you advise him? How do you do? I'm having this issue myself. How do you advise him? You don't even know what to daven. You just daven. You daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give me the wisdom to make the right decision. Or give the boy the wisdom to make the right decision. You don't even know what the right decision is. His problem is to judge yourself. You got to know what to ask for. Sometimes you don't even know what to ask for, right? Should my son marry this girl, that girl, the other girl? Which is the right shidduch? It's hard to know. You don't even know. It's very difficult. You have to daven to the Baruch Hu. Lehis Palel. You have to judge yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what's best for me. I don't know what's best for me all the time. That was the godless of the frog. The frog knew the difference between the good water and the not good water. It's not always so pashut to know. It's not so pashut to know. We have to daven for the ability to have the das to know what the right decisions are in life. Should I go here on vacation or there on vacation? Which is better for my Yiddishkeit? Which is better? Which is better? Where am I going to have a minyan? Where am I going to be able to still maintain the right approach to my Yiddishkeit? Where should I drink from? Where should I not drink from? Sometimes very, very difficult. Now, we get our das from the Torah. There's a beautiful, beautiful comment of Rashi. Listen to this. The Gemara says, in Sota ain das el Torah, but the Pasuk says in Tehillim, famous pasuk we're all familiar with. Ach shalt imis Hashem osav akeish. I ask Kosh Baruch one thing. Shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai. Lachazos b'noam Hashem. To view the peacefulness of the Ribbono Shelom. Ulevaker b'heichalo. What do those words mean? Ulevaker b'heichalo. Pashup Shah means to visit Bikur Cholim. Ulevaker b'heichalo. To visit in his home, in his chambers. There's a very fascinating comment of Rashi on that pasuk in Tehillim. Rashi says, "Levaka bechalo, liros sham b'chol boker u'boker." That's what Dunash explains. Liros sham b'chol boker u'boker. To be seen there every morning in the Chatzar Hashem to go to shul. Kach pirush Dunash u'menachem chibur. Right, these are two of Rashi's rebbe's, Dunash and Menachem. Umenachem chibro im lo yivaker bein tov lora. Avol dunash pata lashon boker. Rashi sounds like it's two different pshatim, right? Menachem and dunash. Menachem says levaker. So one is called boker or boker. And Menachem said it means lo yivaker bein tov lora, which means you can't distinguish. Levaker means to distinguish between good and bad. So what's levaker beheichalo according to Rashi? That when a Jew makes himself as part of the Heichal Hashem, when a Jew makes the Beis Medrash and the Shul his home, Achas Sha'alti Me'ez Hashem Osav HaKish, Shifti Beveis Hashem, to sit in the Beis Medrash and learn, to sit in Shul and Davin, Beheichalo, when you're in the Heichal Levaker. The Heichal is what gives you the Koach Levaker, to distinguish between what a person should be doing in life and what he shouldn't be doing in life. Where does he get that ability? Levaker, to be Mevaker, Bein Tov L'ra, where does it come from? Beheichalo. When you sit in the Heichal Hashem, when you sit in Beis Medrash, when you sit in study Torah, when you sit in Shul and Davin, that's what gives a Jew the ability to distinguish between the Tov and the Ra. Where else do you get it from? From the street? Where do you get it from? It's a beautiful idea. By the way, the Evan Ezra actually says, it sounds like two different pshatim, right? Levaker, does it mean Levaker to distinguish, or Boker the morning? The Evan Ezra says, actually, why is Boker called Boker? Very fascinating. The Pasuk says, Vahi Erev, Vahi Boker. So Erev is the evening. Erev is Miloshon Ta'arovas. It's all confused. In the evening, as the darkness sets, Erev is things get confused. It's the darkness, right? This world is compared to darkness. Rabbi Twersky's opening line in a very famous, recent, strong drasha that he gave in YU. Right, that darkness sometimes makes people confused. It's the word says that Olam Hazeh is Doma Lalaila, because in this world sometimes we don't know, we're not clear what the right thing is. Should we do this? Should we do that? It's difficult. The world is confusing. We don't know what's right and what's wrong sometimes. That's why it's called Erev. Erev means Eruv. It's all mixed up. It's famished, fatracht. We don't know what's going on. Boker, says the Evan Ezra. Why is Boker called Boker? Because when the light of the morning comes, Boker, Levaker Mechalo, it's called Boker because in the Boker we have the ability to Levaker. We have the ability to distinguish between, it's easier to distinguish in the morning. Olam Haba is called right the morning. When the morning dawns, it's going to be Mashiach time, it's going to be, everything's going to be clear, we're going to have clear understanding. So the Evan Ezra says, that's why Boker is called Boker. So, it's funny, in the Rashi, he said that Dunash and Menachem were saying two different pshatim. One of them was Boker, one of them was Levaker. The Evan Ezra says Boker is called Boker because in Boker you can be Mevaker. It's really the same idea, etymologically. Anyway, the bottom line here is, in the first pshat, in the first limud from the Tzvar De'im, that the frog somehow had this ability. Das means the ability to know what's good for you and what's not good for you. When a person davens, he needs to know what's good for him, what's not good for him. And that's why, perhaps also, gentlemen, that Chonin Hadas is the very first bracha. Why is it the very first bracha? Because before you start to ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu anything, the first thing you need is, I got to even know what to ask for. We don't even know what's good for us all the time. What we think is good for us, the Rebbe Shlomo might think is not good for us. So you got to ask for das first. How important it is for a person to have that sense of das, understanding, clarity. That's this lesson number one. Lesson number two is a fascinating Gemara. Fascinating Gemara. Gemara Maseches Pesachim, it's also in the Yalkut Shimoni. Some of you may have heard this. Odzu Darash Todus Ish Romi. Todus from Rome made the following drasha. Gemara has a dispute. Was he a tzaddik? What was he? Maro Chanani Mishol Vazaria Shemosar Atzan Kedushas Hashem L'Kiv Shana Ish. So you may be familiar with the fact that Chanani Mishol Vazaria, they were threatened that they had to bow down to a statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Had to bow down to a statue. And instead, they threw themselves into a furnace. The question is, the Gemara asks, why'd they do that? Why'd they do that? Should be obvious why they did that, but the Gemara does not take the obvious route. The Gemara says, why did Hanani and Zaiah throw themselves into a Kivshanaish? So the Gemara says, Nasu Kavachomer Ba'atzon Mitzvar De'im. So the Gemara says that Hanani Mishov Azariah learned that they should throw themselves into the burning furnace rather than bow down to the statue. They learned it from the frogs. You never knew what you could learn from a frog. The frogs were not commanded to sanctify God's name. Right, so they went up. That the frogs, where did they go up? So the Chumash says, where did the frogs go? They went into the houses. Okay, for Shteitzach, they went into the houses. But the pasuk goes out of its way to say that the frogs went into the ovens. Right? In page 173. V'sharat hayor tzvardim. Look at pasuk chaf ches on the top of page 173. V'sharat hayor tzvardim. And the sea will give birth to frogs. Va'alu uva'u b'veisecha. They're going to go into your houses. V'chadar mishkavcha, your bedroom, v'amitasecha, on your bed. Ubebeis avodecha uvamecha uvesanurecha uvemisharosecha. It's going to go in your ovens uvemisharosecha. What does that mean? Misharosecha. What does that mean?
Bowls.
What?
Kneading.
The kneading bowls. Okay. It's going to go in your ovens and in your kneading bowls. So the question is, why is the Torah relating that the frogs went into the ovens? I mean, they probably went to the couches too, and into the... What's the significance? Why is the Torah... did we ever think about this? We read this pasuk a million times. You ever think about the fact, why is the Torah telling you the frogs went in the oven? What's the significance of that? So the Gemara says, M'sachim, that's the idea. When are the kneading bowls with the dough in them, when are they right next to the oven? When the oven is hot. Basically, the Gemara learns from here that the frogs were willing to give up their lives for the sake of teaching the Egyptians an important lesson. So, why does the Torah say that the frogs went into the oven? So apparently, Hanani, Mishael, Vazaya learned from there. You see that you're supposed to give up your life and throw yourself into a burning situation to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, to sanctify the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, Hanani, Mishael, Vazaya, they threw themselves into a burning fire. They learned it from the frogs, who were willing to throw themselves into an oven, a burning oven, for the sake of sanctifying Hashem's name. Now, the Gemara over there, the Tosis over there, and Psachim asks, What do you need to learn from the frogs? Don't we know that Avodah Zarah is Yaharig Val Yavor? It's one of the three Averis that you're supposed to kill yourself rather than violate. So Tosfos answers what he answers over there. Either this wasn't real Avodah Zarah, or they had an out. The Re says that they had an out. They could have run away beforehand, not even put themselves in the situation. That's what he answers. Asks the Shagas Arya, and many people ask this kasha. And many people ask this kasha. Now, what was the Kal V'Chomer? So, look, it says they made a Kal V'Chomer. I'm sorry, look at the end of the first paragraph. So they made, the Hanani Mishael Vazari made a Kal V'Chomer. If a frog who's not commanded to sanctify the name of Hashem, a frog who's not commanded, was willing to give up their lives to sanctify the name of Hashem, we who are commanded, Kal V'Chomer. So Shagasari asked the question, what does it mean that the frogs were not commanded on Kiddush Hashem? It says clearly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, that what's going to happen is that frogs are going to go into the ovens. Now, if the frogs were scheduled to go into the ovens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the frogs, apparently, he told the frogs to go, so he told the frogs to go into the ovens. So why does the Gemara say that the frogs were not commanded on Kiddush Hashem? It's a Shagas Arya's Kasha. Now, in Rabbi Simon Sefer, he says that the answer was provided by the Gra, when he was 7 years old. I saw, quote another song, that it was Rabbi Yonasan Abishitz that gave this answer when he was 7 years old. But somebody, when they were 7 years old, 8 years old, I saw it quoted. But some young, it was either the Gra, as it says in one version, I also saw it in Rabbi Yonasan Abishitz, gave the following answer. That the frogs had other options, right? Because the frogs were commanded to go into Paro's house, into his bed, into various places. So the question was, did each frog get his own separate marching orders? Or was there just one general commandment to all the frogs? Men! Everybody, when they were given their marching orders in Shemayim, all these frogs. Men, we have a job to do. Now I want all of you guys, some of you guys take the bands, some of you guys take the houses. Someone go into Pyro's bed, into the houses. Now, the frogs now had to decide who was going to go where. So apparently, said Rabbi Yonasan Abishitz, or the Gra, one of them, when they were very young, so each frog had the option. Now, who was going to take the oven? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go to the oven. So each frog really was not necessarily mitzuveh va'oseh to go into the oven. They could have opted for the other job. So they didn't actually have to give up their lives necessarily. So what do you see from this? Said the young Talmudic scholar, the budding Talmudic scholar at a very young age. He said, what do you see from this? That was the Kal v'chomer that Hanani Mishael v'Azariah made. These frogs, they could have gotten out of it. They didn't have to be in a situation where they had to be moser nefesh for the sake of the Rabbanu Shlom. And they even were willing to put themselves in the situation where they didn't have to be there. So we who find ourselves in a situation that we can be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim and we have to do it, we have no way out, of course we're not going to bow down to the idol. We're going to do the right thing and make a Kiddush Hashem and even throw ourselves into the burning furnace. This is of course related to another question about if a person is not obligated to give up his life for the Rabbanu Shalom. So is he allowed to, right? That's a whole discussion. Let's say a non-Jew puts a gun to your head and says, be over the Avodah Zarah, I'm going to kill you. So the din is, halach l'maisa, you have to be killed rather than violate the Avodah Zarah. Let's say a non-Jew puts a gun to your head and says, be mechal Shabbos, so I'm going to kill you. So the din is, you're not supposed to give your life. Question is, are you allowed to give up your life? Are you allowed to? It's a machlokas harishonim. Talked about it in the Tuesday night shiur. We talked about it a couple weeks ago in the Tuesday night shiur. So it could be this is related to this issue also. You could learn from the frogs, perhaps, that one is, even if one is not obligated to give up his life, it might be permissible to make a statement to all of Klal Yisrael about the importance of a particular issue, so it might be allowed to, right? In some cases, of course, if it's Shas Hashmad or Befar Hesia, so you have to give up your life even for other things. But at any rate, what you see from here is that the easiest path in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not necessarily always the best path. And oftentimes, we have to be willing to take the more difficult track. Hazorim bedima berina yiktsoru. Sometimes when it's the time when things are the toughest, and to observe the commandments of the Rabbanu Shlom is the most difficult, those are the times when that's really the right path to go. And a person has to reach inside himself and have mesiras nefesh. We learn from the frogs that even if you have the ability to go to the bed, well, there's got to be someone who's going to go into the oven. There's got to be someone who's going to want to be moser nefesh and take the hit for the sake of the Rabbanu Shalom. Right? There's a lot of easier paths to take in serving Hashem, but someone's got to do the difficult things. Someone's got to do the tough things. And we learn from the frogs the importance of keeping Mesiras Nefesh and knowing how to be Moser Nefesh for the sake of the Rabbanu Shalom. That's lesson number two. Lesson number three from the frogs and lesson number three and number four both come from the same famous Medrash. Right? So, when Hashem introduces the plague of the frogs, He says there's going to be a lot of them. Tzar De'im in the plural. But we know, if you look in the Chumash, when the frogs actually came, so the Chumash says, very, very perplexingly, the Chumash says, Vatal Hatzardeya. In the singular. Help me out, where is it? So you could see it. Where does it say Vatal Hatzardeya? The same, right over there, right? Pasuk Beis. Page 173, Perek Ches, Pasuk Beis. Vayet Aaron es yado amemei Mitzrayim Vatal Hatzardeya. Now beforehand it said Visharat Hayor Tzvardeya, it's going to be the plural. And then it says Vatal Hatzardeya. So Rashi has a number of explanations. Let's look at the bottom, page 173, look in Rashi. Why does it say Vatal Hatzardeya? Says Rashi, Tzvardeya achas ha'isa. There was one frog. Vahayu makin osa. And they would, and the Egyptians were trying to get rid of this one frog, so they would hit it. And every time they would hit it, v'himatezes nechilim nechilim, zehu midrasho. That is the midrash. Every time they wanted to stop it, it was making nuisance, so they would try to kill it. So they would take a bat and smash it. They would smash it, you know, loads and loads. Every time they smashed it, more and more frogs came out. Upshuto yesh lomar, sure, it's a tzvardim korei loshin yichidus. No, it just means the frog population. And others say there was one frog originally, and then he whistled and called all his buddies, and they all came. Anyway, so in a similar way, so Rav Yitzchak Mivolozhin says that you have to know, right? You have to know. Two lessons we can learn after this idea. What is the Chumash trying to tell us from the fact that it started out as one frog and they smashed it and smashed it and smashed it and turned it into many, many little frogs? So the first lesson is, Rav Itzel of Elazhin, this Rabbi Simon quotes, Rav Itzel of Elazhin says that the lesson is that you got to know when starting up with somebody is going to win the situation for you, or sometimes you're just going to make the situation worse by starting up with by you see somebody who's doing something wrong, or he's annoying you, or doing something negative to you. So you sometimes have two ways to go. Either you could escalate it and yell back or continue back, or you could be quiet and calm. And oftentimes, see, sometimes when you make the matter worse or fight back, what you're doing is you're causing the opposition to get even more strengthened, and get even more angry. And sometimes when you fight with people that and they fight back, it gives them more strength. So that's the lesson, says Rav Itzel of the Tzvardeya, that sometimes the more you hit something, the more it comes back at you twice as strong. And you have to know when to be strong and when to take a back seat and say, you know what, let this run its course. Rav Itzel was saying it about all kinds of new movements within Judaism that were developing. So should they get out there and actively fight them, or let them have their say and let them die by themselves? That was what he was referring to. But sometimes he felt that when you make a big stink and when you make a big splash, it causes the other side to strengthen themselves and get more entrenched. Not always easy to know when you have to speak out and make a mechah, and when you have to say, you know what, let them say what they want to say, let them get it out of their systems. And sometimes we read things in the papers and we, you know, feel like I got to say some response. Or sometimes if you write something in the paper, response, and then they're going to come back. And sometimes it's better to let people get out and say what they need to say, and it's hard to know. But the frogs, so from the frog, you see, sometimes you have your enemy, the frog, you try to hit it, and the more you hit it, the more it comes back at you. So you have to know sometimes when to say, you know what, let them say what they want to say, and don't respond. Sometimes no response is the best when a person's being attacked, or a person's being, you know, people are saying, sometimes to let the person get it out of their system. Someone once gave me that advice as being a principal. Right? Sometimes people call up and right there, Eish Lahava. So you have to know when is the time when you're supposed to, you know, sometimes people, you know, need to get it out. Other times it's a very serious issue. You got to respond. You got to know when. But the stipler in the fourth and final lesson, also related to this issue. So I saw quoted in the name of the stipler Gaon, right, the father of Chaim Kanievsky was Reb Yisrael Yaakov Kanievsky, the stipler. Wrote the Svarim Kilos Yaakov. He wrote a sefer on Chumash called Berchus Peretz. I saw it quoted in the name of the stipler. The big kasha over here is, once you hit the frog once and they saw that more frogs came, why do you keep hitting it? Right? That's the kasha everybody has. Right? If they saw every time you hit the frog one time, boom, it split into two or split into... So didn't they get the idea? Stop hitting it. The more you hit it, the more frogs are going. So what do you see from here? You see from here that when you're angry and you lose it, you keep doing the same thing, even though you know it's getting worse and worse and worse, you keep doing it. Don't we do this all the time? It's unbelievable. How we do this all the time. Or sometimes you start yelling at your kid or something and you just get carried away. I'm talking about myself. You keep going. You know that at this point in time, you're absolutely accomplishing absolutely nothing with what you're doing at this time. You're only making things worse. There's only more and more frogs coming out when you keep on getting at it. There's only more and more. All you're doing is creating more frogs, yet you have to fight down the road. So that's the other important lesson the stipler said. You got to know when to stop hitting, and when a person's upset, and when you're angry, or when you feel like you're under siege, so you lash out, and you keep lashing and lashing and lashing and lashing out, even though the more you smack, the more frogs are going to come again. So I hope we tried to give a little bit of a different perspective, perhaps, on the mock of the frogs, and to learn about the many, many lessons we can learn out from the frogs. Just to summarize, what were the lessons that we learned? Number one, the first lesson is you have to always have das to know which is the right way, which is the wrong way. Especially when a person is going outside of his normal defined set boundaries, to know which way to go. It's not always easy. You have to daven for the motion, for the das, atachonin, ladam das, to know how to ask for everything else. I want the das to know what's really good for me, which water I should be drinking, which water I shouldn't be drinking. The second lesson is the lesson of Mesiris Nefesh, that even if you have two ways to go, sometimes the road less traveled and more difficult, someone has to go into the ovens. Someone has to go into the trenches and fight the difficult fights, not only to leave the easy parts of Yadus, like the frogs did. The third lesson is that sometimes when you're in a dispute or an argument or a debate, it's better to just let the other half get to say what they say without a reaction, because sometimes you have to know the more you react, the more you escalate, the more frogs come, the more you hit, the more frogs come out. And the final lesson is when a person is angry or upset, and any bad mida that a person has, sometimes you get carried away with it and keep going, it just makes the problem worse and worse. So you don't want to react. So hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give us the wisdom and the character to be able to know what is the right way to go, and to learn even from a frog how one is supposed to conduct himself on this earth in our lifetimes. And I want to just close by saying that there's going to be no shiur the next 2 weeks. We'll resume again Parshas Yisro. There's no bow, no b'shalach. We'll resume again Parshas Yisro, and once again to thank the Rosenfelds, Mayor and Debbie, for sponsoring this morning's shiur in honor of the simcha of Yoshua Ariel's engagement to Chani Shwed of Muncie. Bez Hashem, the Mishpacha should always have simcha. The Chasen Shbib Shatov Mutzlachas.